In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everybody. You've got a stranger this morning. My name is Frank Thompson. I'm a Mill Hill missionary priest, and I've come to talk today about the Association for the Propagation of the Faith. This is the Church's official society worldwide that supports all the missions. But linked with the APF in this country are the Mill Hill missionaries. We are England's own missionary society. You can relax, I'm not taking any collection. My purpose is to say thank you for what you do. As a missionary priest, I'm occasionally asked by people who perhaps don't know a great deal about missionaries or about priests, what do you do? Do you bring food to starving people? Is it water you bring, medicines? What do you do? And if I then say, well, as a missionary, my job is to preach the gospel, there's a sort of silence, and you can almost hear that person thinking, preach the gospel. Can't you do something more worthwhile? Every one of us, by our baptism, we are missionary. Somehow, we have the same obligation to share our faith. And I see it like this. I am directed in my way of life by the word of God that comes to me through Jesus Christ. We speak of Jesus as the light of the world. It's as if I've got my candle. Jesus is the light that shows the way. As a missionary, I bring my candle, and with it, I light somebody else's candle so that God may also show them the way. And God needs no advice from me. I'm thinking really of a colleague of mine, Father Matthew Howman, that I was in college with many years ago. At one stage, we were both of us working in Kenya, but more recently, Matthew worked in Sudan. He said he was in the town of Juba in the south of Sudan, and somewhere in the middle of the town on a hill is a large stone building. It's the church. And he said, carved in stone on the wall outside and in Latin are the words, "This is the house of God." Or as Matthew says, you could translate that, "This is where God lives." Matthew, being Matthew, got to wondering why it should be written in Latin. In Sudan, there are many languages and not one is Latin. So he decided that God would know Latin. It was there so that God would know where he could live. But that, says Matthew, is strange, because God is not accustomed to being confined in one place. God lives out there in the forests, the hills, the plains, the townships with his people. The surrounds of the town of Juba are swollen by refugee camps with people who may have walked up to 100 miles to escape the civil war. And Matthew was being shown around the camp by a refugee lady by the name of Masudio, who was explaining to him that over there, Father, just recently, several of our women were blown up by landmines whilst collecting firewood, because the army, in its wisdom, has put mines all around the camp so that, they say, they may keep the rebel army out. What it means is they keep us in. Now our men can't go hunting. We can't graze any cattle. We have a few goats that you can tether to a bush only. The women now can't collect firewood or cover for our little shanty dwellings. There's no work. We depend on all supplies being brought into the town by lorry. We're just open to the elements here. And Matthew said to her, "Masudio, I don't know how you cope in these conditions. I wouldn't be able to cope. But immediately she replied, we don't cope on our own, Father. God is with us in the camp. And Matthew said he felt ashamed. How often do we in our Western way complain? Why has God abandoned me in my difficulties? Why is God punishing me with these problems? Instead of being able to see with the freshness of the light of Christ, like Masudio, that the Jesus who was not afraid to suffer and die for us, that he might not be with us in our difficulties. Seldom, said Matthew, did these people have the opportunity of getting up to the house on the hill where God lives to worship. Usually, Mass would be celebrated under a tree or in a little school room or wherever would be convenient. Likewise, there were those who would come together once a week to study the scripture, where somebody who could read would read a passage and everyone else was invited to listen and think what these words might be saying to them. But the rule was nobody should say to anybody else, it doesn't mean that, it means this. Because every one of us is different. We have our own character. We have our own history. We need to hear what God might be saying to us. So one day they were taking the passage from Scripture. It was the parable of the field of wheat, which you know well. The farmer had sown a field of wheat. It was perfect. But one day the workers came and they found weeds growing all among the wheat. And they were angry. And they went to the farmer and said, look what an enemy has done. Do you want us to go in there and pull out all the weeds and restore the field to its perfection? And the farmer said, no, leave it. If you do that, you're bound to damage good wheat too. Wait till harvest time. We'll sort it out then. Okay, what might this parable be saying to you? What would come to your mind or yours? And different people had different thoughts. But there was one man there that Matthew knew very well. He wasn't from Sudan. He was a Kenyan by the name of Makocha. And Makocha stood up and says, this is what it says to me. But looking at the priest, he says, he probably won't agree with me. But he did say what comes to mind. The field of wheat, said Makocha, the whole field is me. Now, in me, there are lots of good things. But there's bad things too. And sometimes it's not very easy to work out where the good thing finishes and the bad thing begins. Sometimes I look and see things there that shouldn't be there at all. But I don't know what to do about it at the moment. And how often have we not experienced that maybe bad things that have happened to us in the past or that we have done have taught us lessons from which we have grown and matured and perhaps become the better person today on account of? The freshness of the light of Christ as seen through the eyes of Makocha. So often in our Western way, we seem to think that we must first make ourselves perfect before we dare approach the house on the hill where God lives, hoping that he might let us in. Instead of realizing that when we come to church, we don't come to meet God. We bring him with us. We share our experience of him with one another, but we take him home. There was one more man that Matthew said inspired him, a man who had been a freedom fighter in his time, but now, disillusioned by war, he was a refugee. A religious sort of man, they would often see him at Mass. But at other times, they'd noticed that he'd gone to the Protestant service over there or that one there, and people wondered, what religion really is John? And one day, somebody said to him, John, what religion are you? To which he replied, my name is John Lacrimoy, and God knows me. Every one of us, we can say, my name is, and God knows me, and God loves me. Not the person I would really like to be, but the person I am today in these shoes. God forgives me. God supports me. God is not ashamed of me. And if I can believe this, then I might begin to love and forgive myself. And then I might begin to love and forgive you, and you might begin to love and forgive me. And here we have the ingredients for peace, which is precisely what our world needs. So please never underestimate the value of what you do when you make it possible for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached throughout the world. It underpins everything else that happens on top of that. And we do this in a very special way by supporting the Association for the Propagation of the Faith. It is worldwide. Every year, every missionary bishop receives a subsidy to enable him to run his diocese. And the APF Mill Hill is well established in this parish. Many of you, I'm sure, are members. Thank you. Please continue to be members. We need you. For those of you who perhaps are not members, I'd like to ask you, please become members. You'll notice I've put out some of these enrollment forms in the benches, and you can see what's entailed. One can become a box member by taking home a mission box, a blessing box, we'd like to call this. The advantage of the box, everybody in the family can contribute. They can put in regularly their contributions as a sort of daily sharing of their lives with the preaching of the good news. So if you'd like to become a box member, take one of the forms, put a tick next to box member, put your name and address underneath, hand that to me as you go out of Mass and go home with your blessing box. I shall be at the back of the church after Mass. I've got Audrey there to help me and Monica with more pens and forms if you need them. You may prefer to become an annual member and give a donation, maybe not through the box, but in some other way or through the bank yearly. If you'd like to do this, put a tick next to annual member, put your name and address, hand the form to me as you go out of Mass, and we will be in touch with you. There's no need to give any money today. If you pay tax, of course, whether you've got a box or an annual member, if you tick the box which says gift aid, we get back from the taxman what you have already given him.